Okay, the hour is late. We will try to be mechazik ourselves to end on a higher note as we've come this far. Again, for this year, I'd like to return to my favorite part of the Seder, which is Hallel and Nirtzen. Again, I pose a challenge to anyone to say one thing by Hallel and Nirtzen. I know that it's difficult, and I know that the Seder will be late, to not let what Nirtz is about be lost. That Nirtz is the culmination. It is what the Seder is about. It is an effervescence, overflowing of love of Hashem, which we express through song and poem. And that is the point. The 15 steps of the Seder, the 15 steps of the Shir HaMalos going up to the Beis HaMikdash. The last step is to show a karas hatov to Hashem in the most beautiful way. Please don't let your Seder end with a mumbling of tired people trying to get to the end of the year. So it should be b'simcha, with song, chizik, and divrei Torah. So we'll try to return to this idea as well. We are saying Hallel, Hemanti ki adaber. Hemanti ki adaber, writes the Nesiv of Shalom, the son of Rebbe. Hemanti ki adaber, I believe in Hashem because I speak. Because I speak about Emunah, because I continuously talk about Hashem, and I talk about Hashem with my children, I talk about Hashem with my friends, and I talk about Emunah, even though Emunah might not be the most popular subject of people to discuss. He'emanti ki adaber, I believe in Hashem because I constantly speak about Hashem. And that's what we do on Leil HaSeder. We talk about Hashem more and more and more, and that builds our Emunah. The more you talk about Hashem, the more one's Emunah builds up over and over and over again. The Chovos HaTalmidim writes in the end of the Sefer that the repetition of something is not just intellectual. The repetition of information also builds a sense of emotional understanding. The more you repeat the idea, the more you get involved in the idea, the more you sing Hallel, the more you sing Nirtz, the more you get into it, that builds an emotional connection that is not just intellectual, but something that cuts to the core, to the heart of the neshama of every Jew. Halalu es Hashem kol goyim, the goyim praise Hashem, shabchuhu kol ha'omim, and the nations praise Hashem as well. Ki, why? Gavar leinu chesed, because Hashem did chesed for us, the emas Hashem le'olam, ha'aluk, and the truth, and the Hashem is true forever, praises Hashem. Asks the bear Yosef, from Yosef Salant in his modern classic, he asks as follows, shabchuhu kol ha'omim, ki gavar leinu chesed, the Goyim are going to praise Hashem because they did chesed for us? What? What does that have to do with each other? Why should the Goyim praise Hashem because Hashem did chesed to us? They should praise Hashem when Hashem does chesed for them. Why is Hashem get praised when we are the beneficiaries of Hashem's kindness and Hashem's rachmanis towards Klal Yisrael? What's the connection between the two? Says Rav Yosef Salant as follows. Because when the Kadosh Baruch Hu freed the Jewish slaves, it was the first time in the world that the world saw that those who are downtrodden can come out on top. It was the first time that slaves were freed on such a level that the entire world noticed. They couldn't ignore what happened. It was front page news, top of the banner on whatever news site you look at, Jews freed from Mitzrayim. And therefore, that's why. Because the nation saw, look what could happen. People so low on the bottom, were nowhere to turn, who were downtrodden and disgusting, with nothing going for them, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu took them on a tribe, no longer slaves, rather, on top of the world, ki gavar aleinu chesed, because Hashem did chesed for us, shabchuhu kol hagoyim. The goyim said, we can do that too. We can be inspired, that we also can be on the bottom. We also can be slaves and an oppressed people. And we also can rise up. What the Jewish people did changed the course of humanity and events for all time. It set a precedent that would inspire nations for generations to come. We are all familiar and aware of American history and the Civil War, that many of the slaves in America were inspired and sang songs and wrote about being inspired by the story of Moses taking the people of Israel out of Egypt. Songs and all different types of ideas came through the inspiration of what happened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. And this is the inspiration for us to look and to be proud of what Hashem did for the Jewish people and in turn bring that to the nations of the world. Continuing on to Nirtza. Last year I asked a question I didn't have an answer for, but this year I have an answer for it. We'll turn to the question. There's a sefer called Otzer Kol Minhagi Yishurim. It's a collection of different minhagim and ideas to the holidays and all different types of things, weddings and things like that. So he writes in Perek Tazayin that he has a Kabbalah, he has a tradition, that the author of Adir Hu, the author of the famous song Adir Hu that we sing by Nirsa, is the same author of the person who composed also the popular song by weddings, Mi Adir Alakol. The same author wrote the one song that we sing by the weddings, the same song that we sing at the end of the Seder. So last year I was confused as to what's the connection between the two. It's a beautiful idea on its own. There's some sort of very special meaning that we have the same author. He uses the same word, Adir, in both places. But what's the meaning for the rest of us? So I'd like to suggest the following answer. The Yerushalmi end of Pesachim has a very famous statement regarding someone who eats matzah on Erev Pesach. We know that we do not eat matzah on Erev Pesach. That's why we have to have potatoes or anything made of potato starch. And therefore, because we want to make sure we are ready to be excited for the matzah being eaten at the Seder. And the Gemara, the Yerushalmi makes a comparison about almost like a chassan and kala who are jumping the gun. Too early before the wedding, getting to know one another. And they consider that to be something very bad, and therefore we are careful to not eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So we see already within the understanding of the Gemara in the Yerushalmi that there's a reflection on some sort of chasana taking place. That the chasana, the wedding, will take place on Seder night, and Erev Pesach are the moments before the wedding which we need to control ourselves and get ready to come close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam cites this in the Halacha, as do the Poskim as well. Now, the Shiboli Halakhet explains as well that in the night of the Seder, there are Sheva Brachos by a chasana, and Sheva Brachos by the Pesach Seder as well. And he says that if a person were to eat matzah, that would be jumping ahead of the Sheva Brachos. And he notes that the Sheva Brachos and Leha Seder, he counts are Yayin, the Zman of the Yantav itself, Shechayanu, Karpas, Kosheni, and Hamotzi. Netil Sadayin doesn't count, he says, because that's just a matzah allowing us to partake in the matzah. In addition, the Mari Vayo, one of the great poskim of Ashkenaz, writes in Simen Kuf Sadi Gimel, he counts a different Sheva Brachos. He says that it's Hagefen and Zman, Asher Ga'alnu, Morin, Netil Sadayim, Hamotzi, Alachilas Matzah, whatever it is. All the different Rishonim count different sets of Sheva Brachos, because Sheva Brachos are the chasna, the marriage between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, al Leil HaSeder, this beautiful, intimate encounter as well. The Prima Gadim discusses whether the halacha depends on the nighttime of the actual bracha being recited, but nevertheless, the Avodah Yisrael writes in his Haggadah that the statement of Kol Dichvin Yeseh V'Yechol, that we invite all to come together to the Pesach Seder, is actually an invitation to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kol Dichvin Yeseh V'Yechol, Hashem, tonight is the night of our chasana. Let's come, we should be in a relationship, coming together, Klal Yisrael and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, engaging in a beautiful meeting on the night of the Seder. One could also add, Libi Omer Li, one could say as follows, that we also cover the Masa, like we cover the face of the Kala as well, by Leil HaSeder. So much imagery and connections to a wedding between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this very special night. A night to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a meaningful way. And therefore it makes sense, at the end of the Seder, Mi Adir, right? Adir Hu. We sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, just like by a wedding, we bring down the Chasan and Kala, so to us at the end of our Seder, we sing and dance together with Ribono Shel Olam in holy matrimony. Let's move on now to Echad Miyodea. There was a remarkable German Rav in the 19th century, Rabbi Marcus Lehmann. If you have his Haggadah, and I'm sure many of you do on a dusty bookshelf that you have not looked at in a long time. His Haggadah was sold in the 60s and the 70s. You may have such a Haggadah. Please go and dust it off. Because even though it looks like an old Haggadah and it looks like it's not so relevant, his Haggadah is masterful with beautiful ideas from beginning to end. I want to share with you his amazing perspective on Echad Miyodea and what it is all about. And he explains as follows. And he brings this based on the explanation of another German Rav, Rav Tavola Bandi, who was a Rav in Germany at the same time. And he explains that the purpose of Echad Miyodea, this game that we play, who knows one, who knows two, what are we doing here? He says it's a poem to answer a very important question. When Klal Yisrael stood by Yam Suf, the Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you saving them for? They're nothing. Halalu of Dei Avodah Zarah, the Halalu of Dei Avodah Zarah. The Mitzrim and Klal Yisrael are the same. They're just as bad. They both worship Avodah Zarah. Nothing is going to come of these Jewish people. What are you wasting your time with them? So the answer, says Rabbi Lehmann, is Echad Miyodea. Echad Miyodea is a listing of zuchuyos, of merits, of why we were able to come out of Mitzrayim. And therefore he says the song should be sung in the following way. Echad miyadeh. Who can think of one zechus? Who can think of a zechus that starts with one, that Klal Yisrael should have been redeemed from Mitzrayim? And we go 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up to 13. So I'm going to give you his explanation. I'm not going to go 1, and then 1, 2, and then 1, 2, 3, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'll just do it all at once. But in order to understand, we have to work backwards. We have to work from the punchline back to the beginning. So I'm going to go from 13 to 1. If you don't get everything, it's okay. You have my email. I'll send you whatever you want. There's the recording. But we're going to go from 13 to 1. He explains as follows. 13 is the Yud Gimel Midos, the 13 attributes of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, revealed to Moshe, not simply to be repeated. We know that by the Yom Noraim, by Elul, it's not enough just to say the Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim. The Medrash says, Im Yasu Banai Keseder Hazeh, if my children act in these Midos, to simply recite the Yud Gimel Midos is not enough. Bnei Yisrael need to act in the midos of a Kadosh Baruch Hu with Chesed and Rachamim and Emes and all these ideas. And therefore, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu decided to take us out of Mitzrayim, it was because we distinguished ourselves with proper midos. Hashem saw that inside the Jewish people are good people who want to do the right thing. Now, even though right now they might not have been so great, but Hashem saw good midos. They were a mensch, a good boy, a good girl. They had the potential to be the right people. They weren't quite there. The Darshanim likes to point out that the Medrash tells us that they had the lavush, they dressed like Jewish people, they spoke like Jewish people, they had Jewish names, but at the same time, you could be wearing, you know, tzitzis out and speaking Hebrew or Yiddish, and your name could be Chaim Yankel, and still, you could be a Memtesh Shari Tumah. You could still be on the 40th level of Tumah and have all these things going on. So, Bnei Yisrael weren't quite there yet, but Hashem saw they had the potential to be there. That they saw that they had the midos of Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomlei Chasadim. And with this, Hashem saw the first step to take us out of Mitzrayim. The plan would be that we would become a unified nation. We would become Shvatim, number 12. Hashem saw that we would come together in one cohesive unit and create a Klal Yisrael of a group of people who love each other in the 12 Shvatim in one unit. Rabbi Steinsaltz writes in his beautiful Sefer, We Jews, that the Jewish people are not a religion, they are not a culture, that they are a family. That's what the Jewish people are. We're a family. That's how you define being Jewish. We're part of one family. And therefore, that's the next zechus that brought us out of Mitzrayim, Achdus, the unity of the 12 Shvatim together. Now, originally, the 12 Shvatim weren't so nice to each other when they lived with the Yaakov, their father. There was 11, right? Yosef saw 11 stars. But eventually, they would become 12. What do the stars represent? The stars represent that just like a person looks in the heavens and sees the twinkling stars and they see, wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an incredible world, so too people look at the Jewish people and say, wow, look at those people. Look how they act. Look how they are Mekadoshim Shemayim. And the zechus of the Jewish people shining like bright stars, the 11 stars of Yosef's dream, that was the next merit that they came out of Mitzrayim. And living our lives in a way of ruchnius. Now this message of living a life of spirituality in a physical world is the theme that runs through most of the rest of the explanation. He explains that the ruchnius and the spirituality of the Jewish people was highlighted by Maimon Har Sinai and the revelation of the Aseret HaDibros, number 10. With the Aseret HaDibros, we were shown that a Kadosh Baruch Hu rules over the mind and the spirit of every Jew. And in the Zechus of setting at Har Sinai, Hashem again led us out of Mitzrayim. And then at Har Sinai, who was there? Not just our forefathers who stood there, but also the neshamas of every Jew, even children in their mother's wombs, stood there at Maimon Har Sinai, number 9. The Tisha Yar Cheleda, the 9 months. And in addition, Rabbi Lehman goes on to explain, it was in the Zechus of the Nashim Tzadkaniyos, who even though the pain, the physical pain of the Jewish people racked their body, they said, we need Jewish continuity, and they continued to build Jewish homes through the process of the 9 months of carrying children. This idea of overcoming their physical pain and focusing on the spirituality, the ruchnius of the Jewish people. In addition, Bris Milah. Bris Milah is also the message of spirituality overcoming the physicality, giving a spiritual physical sign on the person to overcome his physical desires. And then finally, in this list as well, Shabbos. Shabbos, again, the spiritual merit of overcoming the physical week. We're so involved in the 6 days of work, and again, we come to Shabbos and we infuse the spirit, the physical week of Shabbos with Shabbos, and we add spirituality to the We add spirituality to our week at hand. So again, all of these merits of the Jewish people, focusing on Ruchnius over Gashmius, says Hashem, is enough to leave Mitzrayim. And then, this task of imbuing spirituality, where do we learn this from? We go now to the Torah. Torah Shebichsav, the five books of Moses, and Torah Shebaal Peh, the six books of Mishnayos that explain the Torah Shebichsav. And the merit of the learning of the six books of Mishnayos and the five books of Torah Shebaal Peh that teach us how to infuse our life with Ruchnius, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to take us out of Mitzrayim. And who are the carriers of this tradition? Obviously, the four mothers, and then the Shlosh Avos as well. The four mothers and the three forefathers show us how to be carriers of spirituality in a physical world. And Hashem looks and says, wow, look at the merits of these holy people who live in the ways of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. And then the message of Ruchnius is manifest in the Luchos, the Shtei Luchos. Why? Because the Luchos were something physical. They were physical tablets, rocks that held the words of Hashem. And what happened? When the Luchos were broken, the words flew away. And the physical part of the Luchos was broken. Showing us what? That the Luchos are not important because they're Luchos. The Luchos are important because of the spiritual message that they carried. And therefore the spirituality of the Luchos lived on even after the Luchos were broken on the floor. And this again, this message of the Jewish people living al derech ruchnius in a spiritual way, overcoming physicality, a theme that goes through all 13 principles. Finally, bringing us to the idea that there's echad elokeinu shebas shemayim v'aretz. Like the stars bear witness to the true creator in Shemayim, the merit by which Bnei Yisrael earned geula was that it recognized the Kadosh Baruch has been Kanashim Shemayim throughout the world. And therefore, we turn to the Malachim and say, Halalu of Dei Avodah Zarah, we worship Avodah Zarah? No. We have Zechuyos 1 through 13 that allowed us to get out of Mitzrayim because HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked inside of us and saw that we had great potential. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us for our midos, so that we would act in a unified nation, publicly representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we learned in Har Sinai to see the importance of Ruchnius, that was manifested in the Tzidkus of the Nashim, Tzidkanios, and Mitzrayim, who continue the Jewish family in representing the Bris Milah and Shabbos, which is taught in the Torah Shebaal Peh and the Torah Shebichsav, which we can learn from our Imos and Avos, which is the lesson of the Shtei Luchos and their breaking, which we understand the importance of Ruchnius over physicality, leading to Hashem Echad. So says Rabbi Lehman. And we look at ourselves as well. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at the Jewish people and saw that even though they were on Memtesh Sharei Tumah, they had the ability and the merit somewhere to get out, we say every morning in Moda'ani, Rabbe Emun Asecha, Hashem's Emun in us is great. Hashem saw inside the Jewish people every man, woman, and child. Our children may sit at the Seder and say, what do I have to offer? And the answer is, Rabbe Emun Asecha. If Hashem could look inside the Jewish people and see all of these good things, then you look inside yourself and all see all these good things as well, and pull yourself out of your own Mitzrayim. Writes Rabbi Yisachar Dov Belz, the Rebbe of Belz, as follows. Why do we only say Echad Miyodeh on Leil Seder? I just gave a beautiful explanation from a layman. We should say this all the time. We should end davening, I guess. We should sing it in the streets. Why don't we say Echad Miyodeh every single day? So the Belz Rebbe explains as follows. Because when a person knows that he contains tremendous wealth and has something very, very valuable, so he doesn't tell anyone about it. He's a smart man. He doesn't reveal his bank accounts. He doesn't say how many homes he has and where he goes on vacation. He keeps it very, very secret until, of course, he has to file forms so he can give for schools and things like that. But until that point, he keeps all of his financial information to himself. So says the Belz Rebbe. But on Leil HaSeder, we drink one cup of wine, another cup of wine, another cup of wine, another cup of wine, and we're relaxed. And we say, know what? Here's the bank account number, and here's the code to the house, and here's the keys to the car. Look at what we have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at the merits of the Jewish people. We're so blessed, we're so fortunate. And therefore, on Leil HaSeder, we open up our mouths, we throw away the key a little bit, and we open up and talk about the great merits of the Jewish people. Blessed to have myself, incredible students who go out and recognize the zechuyos of Klal Yisrael and promote what's special about the Jewish people, are not embarrassed to go and talk about what it means to be a Jew and to go out into the street and to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Let's turn now to Chag Gadra. Last year, I gave over a pshat in Chag Gadra, which I'm still convinced this day is Pasha Pshat. There is no better pshat in Chag Gadra than Rav Zechariah Stern's parish in the Zecher Yehosef at the end of his parish in Haggadah. I'm not going to repeat the whole thing right now. You can go back and listen to the tape. I'll send emails to whoever wants. I'll give whoever wants the information. That Vort on Chagaja is Pashupshat. I don't think there's going to be anything better than that. But I'd like to give two interesting highlights into it as well, into Chagaja. So we're going with the assumption that the Zecher Yehosef is Pashupshat, and that's the best Pshat in Chagaja, and everything now is just icing on the cake. Okay? Good. So, writes Rav Asher Weiss in the Haggadah Menachas Asher, that in the name of the Chozev of Lublin, that what's the purpose of Chagaja? It's meant to protect us from the Ayin Hara. And he cites the Chozev of Lublin, who says that the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Tzadi Aleph, tells us that the Malachim are very jealous of the Jewish people. The Malachim see us fulfilling Torah, Mitzos, and having a moon and Bitach, and all these wonderful things, and the Malachim are crying to Hashem, Hashem, it's not fair! Why don't we get anything? So the Malachim are always looking at us with an Ayin Hara. It's not fair. The Jewish people have this. I don't have anything. And therefore the Chozev of Lublin suggested that this poem was meant to distract the Malachim from our kesher to Hashem. We dangle a shiny thing in front of them, say, ooh, look, a goat. And then they look somewhere else, and they don't pay attention to our special kesher with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Asher Weiss, in his amazing fashion, goes on to explain on an even deeper level that perhaps this is a time when the Malachim would be very jealous of us and cause an Ayin Hara. And therefore, we sing Chagaja to make a point to the Malachim that Klal Yisrael is that beloved Gedi to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem has our back no matter what. And whoever tries to harm us, Hashem will step in and take care of them. So we look to the Malachim and say, get off our back. Hashem is going to take care of us. We have a relationship with Hashem. You can't ruin it. And all the Ayin Hara in the world is not going to take our beautiful connection that we share with Ribono Shel Olam, being his special Gedi. Don't touch us, because Hashem protects us. And now, according to many of the Farshim, that's the Pshat in Chagaja, that Hashem always steps in at the end of the day and saves Klal Yisrael in so many different events that occur throughout Jewish history. Last year as well, I mentioned a beautiful Pshat from the Ben Ishchai. The Ben Ishchai in his Haggadah makes the following brilliant point. He says that, at first glance, the dog seems to be correct, right? The Gedi was there. There was a little goat, and then the cat comes in and bites him. So the dog is like the big brother, steps in and protects the goat. Right? That would be the logical case. So what is the dog going to hit with the stick for? The dog did the right thing. Then the Ben Ishchai makes the following point: if you follow the logic of the Seder of what goes on here in Chagaja, so it means that the goat is good and the cat is bad. The dog is bad, and that means the stick is good. And that means the fire is bad. And that means the water is good. And that means the ox is bad. That means the shochet is good. That means the malach hamavet is bad. Sorry, the Malach above it is good. That means the Kadosh Baruch Hu is bad? What? How could that possibly be? If you follow the order, it turns out Hashem is the wrong one in the fight. Hashem has like the last licks and the last punch, and he's the wrong one. So says the Ben Ishchai, how could that possibly be? So he says our perspective is all wrong. And he says, that we explained in the past, that really the issue was the dog getting involved in machlokas, right? The Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael had an issue with somebody else, and every other nation feels the need to jump in and to get involved in the machlokas. When you have two people fighting, so stay out of it. Most machlokas is caused because people throw fuel on the fire, and it explodes the argument even more. You see a goat and a cat in a fight, so stay away. Who told the dog to get involved? So the dog is the Russia. The dog is the one who made the problem, because the dog stepped in and tried to create more machlokas. This happens all the time. We see two people who have a difficulty, two people are struggling in one area, and they're not getting along, and we think we're going to help. And we say, you know, this one should do this one, you get involved. And instead of being helpful and trying to resolve the machlokas, we pick sides, and we back up this one, and we text this one, we post this one over here, and we send back to this WhatsApp. And at the end, the machlokas is 10 times bigger than before, and we ruin the whole thing. So yeah, if you say that the dog is wrong, and you change up the order of the events, then the Kadosh Baruch Hu comes out on top at the end of the day. So says the Ben Ishchai. Rav Nachman of Breslov I saw in Lekutei Halacha Snor HaChaim. So he explains this also works on a personal level, right? We should not exact punishment on our own. We should always try and be down the Kav Sechus. We should always make sure that we're trying to end machlokas and always do the right thing. I'd like to offer my own suggestion to this issue with the dog and the stick and this whole issue over here. The stick is only a tool. Of all the things mentioned in Chagaja, they all are animals that act on their own. They have their own inanimate abilities. But a stick lies by itself on the ground. Water flows. All things move in different directions here. But the stick is simply a stick. a tool to be used by other people. And therefore, when the stick stays on the ground, unless somebody else does something with it, if a person looks at a stick and thinks that the stick did something wrong on its own, that means they're forgetting who controlled the stick. A stick is just a tool. And so too, everything that occurs to us in this world is coming through the Hashgachah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you view the story of Chagaja and label the stick as being bad, or label the stick as being good, then you're missing out on the point of who's holding the stick. The perspective needs to be that whatever happens to the Jewish people is coming through the person who's holding the stick. And that's Hashem. Sometimes the stick appears to be good, and sometimes the stick appears to be bad. It all depends on your perspective in viewing who's holding the stick. And therefore, it's not the President of the United States. And it's not a family member, it's not a hurricane that's affecting us. It's just a stick in the hands of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the person who looks at the stick and sees something bad is the same person who looks at the end of Chagaja and sees a Kadosh Baruch Hu did the wrong thing. The person who looks at the end of the Tzorizah, it's all Hashem's fault, it's the same person who thinks that the stick is bad. Whatever happens to you is from Hashem's Hashkacha, and therefore, the perspective needs to be that everything is Biyad Hashem. The stick is Biyad Hashem, and it's Hashem who's running the world. I want to go back, just in the waning moments, to Lashana Haba, B'Yushalayim HaBnuyah. The Kedushas Yantav is the father of the Sa'amah Rav. So the Kedushas Yantav is quoted, giving the following explanation. In Tehillim it says, that Hashem chesed should be on us, just like we bestowed upon him. But chesed we do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem has to do chesed for us. So the Kedushas Yantav explains as follows, that every year by the Yom Norayim, we get to the end, and the Malachim go before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they say that the Bnei Yisrael don't deserve tshuva. They don't deserve a tshuva. They didn't do any better. It's going to be the same thing next year. We've been doing this for centuries already. The same Averos, the same issues. Nothing has changed before. And we stand at the end of Yom Kippur, and we are banging on Shari Shemayim. And we say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, we need one more chance. I know we didn't do it this year, but this year is going to be different. We're going to be better. I need one more chance. And the Malachim say, no. There's no reason to give another chance because they failed every single year beforehand. Come the defending Malachim of Klal Yisrael, and they say, Hashem, I have a question for you. Don't the Jewish people say by Yom Kippur every year, L'shana Haba? Don't the Jewish people say by Leil HaSeder every year, L'shana Haba, B'Yushalayim HaBnuyah? Don't they make this declaration that next year we're going to be in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash with the Korban Pesach, dancing and singing Halal on the rooftops of Yerushalayim? And what happened this year? You didn't keep your promise, Hashem. There's no Mashiach. You didn't bring the Gula. And every year, Klal Yisrael promised you, Hashem, L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim HaBnuyah. We're going to be there. We're going to be dancing. Hashem, you're going to bring Mashiach. And this year, did Mashiach come? No. So say the Malachim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If Klal Yisrael can get up with great amunah in you and say, L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim HaBnuyah, next year we're going to be there with the Beis HaMikdash, with the Korban Pesach, and we're going to be there with Hashem, with Moshe and Aaron, David and Shlomo, and everyone is going to be there, and they have faith in you, and you don't keep their promise that year, then you also can give them another chance this coming year. If Klal Yisrael go and give you a chance for L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim HaBnuyah the next year, then you can give them a chance on this Yom Kippur to try again. Because we're both tit for tat. We're trying again and it doesn't work out. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash again. And we declare L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim HaBnuyah. And therefore this is the message that we end the Seder with. That just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu believes in us and has a moon in us, so too we have a moon in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that it should be L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim HaBnuyah. Thank you very much, and have a good evening.